So thank you, Marcel. You know, I didn't realize that it's about me with this resume, so I think I did a good job on putting things together. So let me acknowledge the other people that help with this, with development of this government family planning and reproductive health program that the government of Ukraine is now implementing. And I just want to give you a flavor of what it means to work together with government and with civil society to build some policies that are supportive and sustainable for family planning service delivery in a highly pronatalist environment in Eastern Europe. And I think it's about, Patrice mentioned about working smarter versus harder. I think for us it's more like working harder and smarter. I think it's more harder than smarter, but it's certainly about both. So no relationship to disclose. Together for Health, it's funded by USAID. It's a five-year project. Our general goal is to improve access to family planning reproductive health services through especially primary healthcare and focus on poor and disadvantaged. We just got extended 1 year from, and we're going to end next year in September. And the policy piece that I'm going to talk about now, it's actually only one piece of the Together for Health agenda. Ukraine, it's in Eastern Europe. It's actually the largest country in Eastern Europe, if I remember well, if you don't count Russia. And it has like 46, 47 million population. And what is important is that after independence in 1991, the health system didn't really change. It's still the same centralized, funded, Semashko-type health system that we learn about, or I'm not sure if people teach about this these days in the public health schools. But it's certainly centralized, and people just get paid through a salary, and there are no system in place to count for efficiency, effectiveness, and or to support prevention-oriented activities. On top of everything, there are a lot of health facilities on the ground and a lot of specialties. I just want to point out there are 12,000 OBGYNs, and if the number is not telling you much, let's put it this way, it's the 2-3 times higher the average in European Union. And if you go into any EU countries, you will see that the number of primary healthcare providers, family doctors, it's cannot be compared with the number of specialists. Here it's the other way around. The number of OBGYNs is double than the number of family doctors. There are 27 regions in Ukraine, and there are two major funding streams associated with general funding of the and revenue of the country finances. It's a central budget and a locally formed budget. The context for family planning, it's interesting. Abortion rates are 2-3 times higher than the European Union average. Until early 90s, basically the only methods available and recommended were the IUDs, and of course abortion was available. There is still a lot of misinformation about hormonals, and there are a lot of both population and providers are hold those issues around hormonals that are sort of putting a barrier in the provision at this point in time. The recent data from 2007 demographic health survey shows that situation it's changing a little bit. The use of IUDs is 18%, and the hormonals, especially oral contraceptives, starts picking up to 5%. But however, if you compare again with Western Europe, which is 46%, is really low. There is a high use of condoms, but you know the specialists on demography associate that results from the demographical survey more with a successful prevention program that U.S. government and other donors and the government of Ukraine is supporting. If you need more information about this, I have some graphs and all the information are on the website. What is very important to mention is that the country has a declining population, and the government is very much aware about it. And they start all their discussions like Ukraine is going through a demographic crisis. And that's really tough when you go and talk about family planning, especially where the fertility rate is 1.3. I remember that I was in a meeting initially in 2005 when we started the project in Ukraine, in a meeting with various governmental officials, and you know, I was a little bit, let's say, scared about how much emphasis is put into the demographic crisis, the decrease in population, the low fertility rate, and I was like, oh my God, how are we going to work around family planning in this environment? The other thing is, just to have an idea, there is a national program that was put in place almost 10 years ago by which the government is actually, I would say, providing financial support worth of $2,000 for each delivery. So those are hard, you know, hard things to fight against. And in people's mind, contraception is seen a lot as a measure of population control. With the project, we saw an opportunity, and we had the opportunity in 2005 when it started, when the government was finishing two previous reproductive health programs with no funding on family planning. And we saw an opportunity to try to make an intervention that is more public health oriented, and try to put some support the government with those arguments in front of the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Economics and in front of the legislation to actually put some resources and efforts into the family planning area. The main steps that I'm going to talk about are developing a national program, regional programs, mobilize the money that are in these programs, and then support the government for its implementation. The first step, developing a national program, it's more like a story, but what we did briefly was we took the WHO Reproductive Health Strategy for European Region, and we basically put together a working group, and we start discussing how we can support the government to put together a program that will actually be in line with the WHO Euro strategy and actually serve the country commitments to the Millennium Development Goals. And our key sort of intervention and voice there was, you need to keep looking at the poor and vulnerable population, because this is how you're going to achieve the MDG indicators. And we wanted really to say, look, we're here to provide technical assistance, but some funding needs to come from the government, while giving the regions a key role in implementation. With the working group, we actually look around and develop an advocacy package, which later became like sort of an advocacy package for the region, and all of this are on our website, which actually try to move from the family planning, it's a population control towards family planning, it's a health and human right, and prevents abortion rather than reducing fertility, with the key point that governments all over the world, if you look on and especially people likes to compare in Ukraine with Europe, if you look on European Union, even majority of countries are supporting family planning in various ways as the government. The advocacy package was especially helpful with Ministry of Financing and Economics, of course with the Ministry of Health, but step by step they were sort of embarking in this process. And I can just give you a funny story where we are asked to come for a very urgent meeting to support the Ministry of Health to advocate in front of the Ministry of Finance, because they were cutting everything, leaving only money for deliveries and for some drugs for postnatal care and other and maternal health in general. And we sort of put together two pages where we showed that actually the family planning is helping to reduce abortions while maintaining the fertility, while we mention also that governments like US government, you know, Germany government, Romanian government, and other Western governments are really supporting family planning as national policies. And that was a key argument, that family planning, it's really replacing abortion, to make the people in the Ministry of Finance to sign off of putting money into family planning. And it's actually, you know, you cannot imagine how difficult it is, because it's in the hand of one person that is not doesn't have any health background. It's, you know, usually he or she was living in the Soviet past, you know, where family planning was nothing considered. It was considered that it's promoting bad sexual behavior, and you know, you don't have time. You have 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So you really need to put two papers on the table and actually have the right people in the conversation. And I wasn't there because foreigners are not allowed to go in the Ministry of Finance. So some of the people around the project and someone from the NGOs together with the Ministry of Health went there. But this kind of graphs and the money that others are putting into it, other countries, were really successful examples. What happened after that, the program was adopted by the Cabinet of Ministers in December 2006. It follows the WHO European strategies and builds on them MDGs with key five objectives. And one key objective, it's family planning, and prioritizes vulnerable population group like people living with HIV, AIDS, youth, low income, etc. I would like to say, you know, it has some key groundbreaking public health concepts, but the key thing is that it authorizes money. This is what usually it's happening when you manage to get to the politicians and health administrators to commit. They commit money, and they don't, you know, it depends on who you have around the table. They don't consult because they're in these big ministries, and they commit money and they're like, okay, these crazy people are here, I'll sign it. But usually those documents arrive somewhere in someone's drawer and nobody is looking at. So really, authorization was a huge step because those program, which runs until 2015, authorized like, on average, $1.4 million per year for family planning. But like we'll say, authorization was not enough. We'll see later. The next step was to go at the regional level, because with the two funding streams, one at the national level, we had a national commitment, then we say we need to go at the local level to get commitment from the regional budgets. And we went there, and although this was something new for the regions, we developed a package of documents that each region can put together to go to their governments, local governments, to ask for funding for family planning. And again, we use this the advocacy package and tools that we develop and we use at the national level. And in 1 year, we work a lot hand in hand with the regional people in the oblast health departments to develop these programs. And in 1 year, 21 out of 27 regions again approved local programs. And again, the keyword is authorizing, because they authorized almost 18 million in family planning, which was a first for a country like Ukraine. So what was the next step was to mobilize the money. And this is something that I like, and please don't laugh, because it's like dual protection. I call it double advocacy. You know, it's like you get a pill, and the pill, but it's not enough. Sometimes you need a condom. And this is what we did. We look at the authorization like the pill. We had the authorization, we have everything in place until 2015. But actually you need to come every year when the budget is developed on an annual basis, like with the dual protect, dual advocacy, and say, we're here to work with you to really mobilize this money and allocate this money into the next year budget. And that's important. That's sort of a hands-on technical assistance that the project did was key for success. Then, you know, to support these annual allocations, we really went in the regions together with NGOs and with various partners that were coming from non-health areas, and we provided some funding for advocacy, but also we used other mechanisms like USAID donated commodities to say if we're coming in with technical assistance and some donations, you really should think about mobilizing the money that you put in the paper in the program. Implementation was sort of what we're doing after the program is also authorized, after the annual budgets are in place. We go and work with the oblast health departments to make the program reach the intended audience. And again, that's challenging because there are what the government is doing with the money for these programs is basically buying drugs, buying maybe medical supplies in general. There is no approach on public health and buying preventive supplies. Besides the national vaccination program, you know, it's absolutely, they don't buy absolutely nothing except contraceptives. And last year they started looking into buying some kits for cervical cancer prevention. But you know, financing in-service training activities, well, it was an innovation in the program, and some behavior change activities. Okay, thank you, Merced. So the key was the efficient procurement in many ways, because you know, even now we have things like, we like to go on the most modern contraceptive method. We like to buy the patch, we like to buy the ring, we like to do those stuff that are you know, are new but are very expensive, and there is no research to show that they are more effective than the normal and pill that we all know. And we're still working through those challenges with the government. But it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, last week we had a meeting in the Ministry of Health, and they decided to buy patches, rings, and IUDs, and so on. So I said, look, you know, at the end of the day, you need to take the decision for yourself. We put the evidence on the table, but it's also hard because they have to spend the money in front of the Ministry of Finance. So there are other things. Well, those are the sort of the implementation mechanisms that are in place, coordination committees at the local level, which were helpful on bringing together the civil society and sort of putting some focus on what's happening with this program. What's not just to leave it a document with dust on it. What's happening now? What's happening 1 year from now? And usually those committees are meeting like twice a year. While at the national level, we try to maintain momentum and involve leaders in various monitoring and evaluation activities. Well, I would just say that I said that the program was sort of authorizing 1.4 million per year. We managed through the work with the government and the technical assistance and training we provided in procurement and management to keep up with that level. And in 2 years, actually the $2 million were mobilized altogether for family planning, which is a huge step forward. If I can just say one lesson that we learn in front of you, and you know, I was in a session that people were talking about Global Health Initiative of USAID, is that one intervention is not enough, and having a policy on paper, it's certainly, especially in Eastern Europe, it's not going to guarantee anything. Won't guarantee one millimeter, $1, one life. You need to actually, after you have that policy written and adopted, and the process of writing and adoption is difficult and have to be supported through all sorts of advocacy documents and activities, you have to actually stay there, sit down and work with the government and with the civil society to implement it. Because otherwise, if you just leave and you don't provide the type of support, the policy is not going to be implemented. And that's the key for the sustainability of those programs. Thank you very much.